You!
What?
Listening to this podcast right now!
Me?
Do you want to hear a fucking podcast about anything and everything?
Yeah.
Like movies, music, television, and more?
Oh my god.
Well, you've come to the right place.
Yes.
Subscribe to Journey Into Comics Network, and you get Podcastrophy,
oh
hosted
god.
By me,
yes.
Dick. Why not throw a couple bucks to the Patreon? It's your
yes.
choice. Yeah. This is a Podcastrophy.
That sounds so awesome.
The following is a Journey Into Comics Network production.
To a nicer guy, it couldn't happen.
I'm the man of the hour, the man with the power.
Diamonds are forever.
He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family.
And what you gonna do, Andre?
History beckons the Macho Man.
Yeah. The best there is, the best there was.
Austin 316 said I just whipped your ass.
Two words for ya.
Two words.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Hey everybody, and welcome back to Journey Into Wrestling, the first show in quite some time, and also the first episode since the launch of the Journey Into Comics Network. We are so glad to bring the show back and be a part of the network. And of course, we are changing a little bit of how we're going to do the show. So you must be asking, how are you going to change the show? We're going to set it up in like a season, like a TV show. We're going to start right after SummerSlam, and we're going to run to Mania, and then we're going to take a little bit of a break, an off-season, if you will. I know the WWE and all the other wrestling companies never take an off-season, but we shall. We shall sleep a little bit. And if there's something big going on in between, we might talk about it here or there, whether we do a full episode or just throw it into comics. You know the deal. We do talk about wrestling over there when it's relevant. Joining me today is, of course, my other wrestling-loving tag team partner, my good friend Nate.
Woo!
Hopefully that wasn't too loud in your ears, Brando.
No. You put it up into the air, you know?
Yeah, I projected up because I knew if I went right at your face, it would just blow your eardrums out. I'm so excited to be back talking about wrestling. It has been a huge change for the network and everything. We've talked about it several times over. But I've been chomping at the bit to talk about some wrestling news with you, man. And what a great SummerSlam event we had. We had like 18 hours of WWE programming from the Monday night pre-SummerSlam show to SummerSlam. Slam itself, and then the Raw and SmackDown after. But Brando, right out of the gate, there are a lot of different topics I feel like we could just get right into with this news. And I want to talk about how somebody thinks I should write for WWE, and I think that's a bad idea. First of all, I appreciate the sentiment of this person saying I should write for WWE. It comes from my opinion of what's maybe going to happen with Asuka. As we found out the other day, she's got to relinquish her title. Her injury was too grave, but it also means she never lost. They got the title off of her, but she never took a pinfall, right? So what does that mean? Well, it means that she's probably going to debut on the main roster. Well, then what does that mean? Well, my thought is send her to SmackDown. Have her immediately win the SmackDown Women's title. First match. Paige-esque, if you will. But not really Paige-esque with the NXT title, if you will.
No, can't have that.
But anyways, once she wins the title, Carmella realizes, I can't cash in on her. Fuck this, I'm going to Raw. Carmella leaves and goes to Raw. Cashes in on a heel Sasha Banks. Instant face for Carmella. Instantly elevated to the next level star. Then Asuka's champ on SmackDown. You give Ember Moon the women's title that she's not satisfied having because she has unfinished business with Asuka. So Asuka, I'll find you on the main roster, and when I do, I'm going to take my title. And it just sets up a feud that doesn't end. that didn't get, in my opinion, a great finality, you know?
Yeah, no, we can touch on the NXT show a little bit later, but, I mean, I thought the match was fantastic. And, you know, and there was even some conjecture. Somebody commented on one of our posts saying that maybe the injury wasn't legit and they were just using it. And I'm like, well, the thing is that if they were going to get the belt off of Asuka, you would put over Ember because of how good she looked in that match and how good that the match portrayed her. You would be using it to put her over because, number one, the match was so freaking good that the loss doesn't hurt Asuka at all. Yeah, and the win only helps Ember Moon in that case. They didn't do that at this time because obviously they weren't done. They wanted to get another match out of that. Maybe one more match because you had the match earlier where she didn't win. The big comeback where you think that she's going to win and somehow Asuka pulls it out. And then, of course, probably the next big match they would have would be the one where Ember Moon would win and then Asuka would move forward. With this saying, though, with her negotiating with them, I think they decided, you know what, by the time she's come back, that's where we're going to change her anyway. We're not going to get a chance to blow off that Ember Moon feud. We're going to just move on to some of these other women that we have down here because we have to keep the ball rolling. With Asuka, I don't mind that situation at all. I don't know if I would necessarily have her win right out of the gate, but I would definitely keep her undefeated streak intact. She would be undefeated for quite some time.
Maybe, yeah, I mean, we haven't... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, to add, I probably would shift Carmella over to the Money in the Bank. But see, I don't know how they're going to do that because they're sort of switching pay-per-views this year. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I did not notice that.
Where the next pay-per-view is Raw's No Mercy, where last year was SmackDown's No Mercy. And I believe Raw got Hell in a Cell this year, and I think SmackDown's getting Hell in a Cell. And then vice versa, I think Raw is getting TLC, so SmackDown will get Roadblock. And so then it's like Raw will get Elimination Chamber, probably.
Ooh, interesting.
And then Raw will get, like, Money in the Bank, you know, next year. So... if that's the way that they're going to do it, I mean, you could still technically have them switch and just have them hold a briefcase because it gives you a title shot. You know, it's just like back in the day when you won it during the first brand extension for a world title shot. It didn't say which one. And you could actually be on Raw and then show up on SmackDown with a briefcase and win.
Yep.
I that idea is pretty cool. Now, why would that be a bad idea?
Well, I'm not saying that's a bad idea.
No.
That's a...
You writing for WWE, why would that be a bad idea?
Oh, because to me, Brando, I have a lot of really strong opinions and conjectures about how things are going. There's a total underutilization of several wrestlers I believe are top talent. I mean, you look at a guy like Dolph Ziggler, we haven't really seen him do jack shit in several months.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at a guy like The Miz, who barely participated in SummerSlam, and he was a former world champion. I mean, he's won Intercontinental titles, and in my opinion, while he was on SmackDown, he had one of the hottest heel runs in recent memory. He was amazing on the microphone. He had some of the best promos, and you're just not utilizing him. And I look at the whole landscape, and I say, well, what things would I do differently? Well, first of all, Samoa Joe would be Universal Champion already, because I think he should have beat Brock out of nowhere at some fucking pay-per-view called Great Balls of Fire without people expecting that it was going to happen. I think there's some majesticness that's been taken away. I think majesticness is not a word, but that's
unpredictability.
Fine. Unpredictability that's been taken away, and I'm sorry, but having AJ Styles win a United States Championship at Madison Square Garden, while that's cool, it doesn't rectify it for me because it should be your biggest top dude gets taken down randomly at some random pay-per-view. It shouldn't always be, well, here comes WrestleMania. We know there's going to be a lot of title changes. Well, here comes SummerSlam. They're going to do a ton of title changes. And we saw that this year because at SummerSlam, there were a fuck ton of title changes. So me writing for WWE, man, there's a lot of guys too that I would trim the fat that maybe, you know, like, I love Big Show, but I think it's time to already transition him. He shouldn't be taking up spots when he should be transitioning to backstage. I no offense to him, but it's just, it's not the same anymore. Seeing Big Show is not the same as it used to be. I also think that there are guys that are just like, you look at teams like the Ascension or how the entirety of the WWE tag team division is just still being underutilized. You have all these great teams, Hype Bros and the Ascension and Breezango, and you've got the Usos and New Day and Rollins and Ambrose and Gallows and Anderson and the Hardys, and it's a huge thing. And it's like, I feel like tag team wrestling is also being underutilized, so I would alter that. And then you look back at like the IC title is being completely not utilized at all. It's been on Miz's shoulder doing dick. He hasn't put it up. He didn't defend it against anybody. He's not doing anything. And it takes away now that Raw has one title aside from the tag titles, and that's the women's title on Sasha's shoulder. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So I didn't tell you this before the show, but I wanted to do a segment today because I was going to do it, and then I didn't prep for it. I didn't tell you about it, so you didn't get a prep for it. But let's take a look at every single title that's on the roster.
Sure.
Run through them. And whether they and say, what would you do with this championship? Because you already did it. You did it with Joe. You feel Joe should be Universal Champion. So let's run through the roster. Let's run through the roster of belts, and let's start with the Cruiserweight title, because that's like probably the one that it means the less right now. Maybe of course Neville lost and then won it back at SummerSlam. I think it's a. I have the sirens of my
existence.
Of
holy
my existence
cow.
Right now going on.
I did hear those. Yes,
I think it's a grave misjustice that Aries didn't win the Cruiserweight title at Mania. Now that doesn't mean that I think they should be Cruiserweight champion now. So I can't play that game. He's gone. Who should be Cruiserweight champ now? Kalisto.
Okay, you want to move Kalisto off the... Is he on 205 Live now, or is he
no,
still main roster?
I don't even know what he's doing. That's why okay. I think he should be on 205 Live. He should be the babyface, even though they just had Enzo debut on there to be the new, like, pump some energy into that show. I think Kalisto should be on there, and I think he should have been the one instead of this... I can't remember the guy's name from the Titus.
Akira Tozawa.
Akira Toriyama.
no.
So I think Kalisto should have knocked, you know, should be the champion. Who do you think should be Cruiserweight champion?
Well, as you said, your sentiment of Austin Aries not winning and not getting a shot at it, I agree with that. I think he should have. However, we can't, that, like you said, that ship has sailed. So what would I do? Honestly, I think they kind of fucked up. You have the 205 Live match, Akira Tozawa wins. But then immediately at the pay-per-view, it switches back. It was predictable. I knew they were going to do that. That's why they gave it to him at the 205 Live event before a pay-per-view. Well, if we give it to him now, we can just take it off of him right away, and then it makes Neville look even stronger. But it didn't further the story any. I think Akira Tozawa should still be champion. That's my thing. I know he's still an up-and-comer, but Rich Swann has already been champion. You've had Brian Kendrick already been champion. TJP already been champion. You know, now you've got Neville, and you're on the Neville level, and he's been champion. He had this dominant thing. If you're going to spoil a dominant run of a champion like you did and have Akira Tozawa beat him on 205 Live on a Tuesday night before the biggest event of the summer, keep that fucking going. Don't give it up in exchange for, well, Neville is still the strongest champion. I get that. But if you have Neville chasing, it makes him even more vicious. And I mean, in a weird, fucked up way, I cannot believe these words are going to come out of my mouth. It's kind of made that what Baron Corbin has had happen. They took his opportunity away, and now he's being even badder. He's being even more evil and brooding in his character. And I think that's actually kind of a good thing. It makes him look like he doesn't give a fuck.
Okay, let's move on. Let's go to the Raw Women's Championship. You go first.
Raw Women's Championship. I do believe that if I were to be giving someone a shot or to shake things up a little bit, I would move Carmella over and give her the title. I mean, I know that we can't do that right now, so if we can't do that and it's based on the other thing, Nia Jax, I think she deserves it. I know that she still isn't the best at selling that big badass brute that she is, and sometimes flinches when Bayley goes to hit her. But for the most part, though, I think she's totally improved her character. I think that her exposure to just consistently being near the top of the women's division on Raw has totally helped her.
I feel like if she can't, if she comes in and she beats Sasha, not Alexis.
Alexa Bliss.
Alexa, my bad, guys. Sorry.
But you just put them together because Bliss is like this.
So you have Alexa Bliss who just lost. So she has a grievance, right? You know, I want my title back. And then not in there, Nia's supposed to be her like her friend. She gets it. So now you have a rift there, and Nia's like, all of a sudden she kind of wakes up and goes, you know, I could destroy you, right? You know, it's almost like that sleeping giant, you know? All right, let's go over to SmackDown, the SmackDown Women's Champion. I'm going to go first, and I honestly think that I think it's fine right where it is with Natalya. I think she's deserving of it. I know some people were like, well, you know, Naomi's so over. Yes, she is. Let's give her that heartbreaking loss. Let's really tear her down for a second and let her build back up and chase it. I think give Natalya, who is a really good worker, a chance to be this big heel that she's got to try and topple.
Absolutely. I really share the same sentiment with you. I was very happy when Natalya won at SummerSlam. I was just like, oh, I am not upset at this. And then I was kind of upset, though, that while Natalya won, at no point did they play Carmella's music to tease that she would think about coming out. And I thought that was a missed opportunity. It only takes a few seconds. You play her theme, Natalya loses the moment for a second, gives them some more heat, and then maybe Carmella doesn't even come out, and it's just, you're just fucking with her now, you know? And that's Carmella again saying, you're on my time.
All right, so we'll switch over and we will go back to Raw for the Intercontinental Championship. Now, as you said, this title has not been doing anything as of late. Now, Raw's roster is really stacked. Okay? So, I went first on this, on the SmackDown. Wait, did you say who should be SmackDown? You agree with me that Natalya should be?
Correct.
Okay, because we're doing video chat now, and you just nodded your head, and we didn't actually acknowledge the fact that you said, me too.
Oh, me too. Sorry. I have to remember that we're...
we're an audio-based show.
My bad, damn it. This newfangled video equipment that we're utilizing, that's just the old video equipment we already had, damn it. That we never utilized, but we should have.
Yeah, well, it varies based on your location, because you're at your dad's now, and it's fine, just like it was that first time we used it. And then at V's, it was a little choppy. So let's go back to the IC title, I'll have you go first. Who do you think should be the Intercontinental Champion right now?
Well, right now, what I think needs to be done with the IC title is that you need to get it off of Miz. He's good enough that he doesn't need a title. You can keep him in the Miztourage, maybe building the Miztourage, getting some more pieces. You know, I think that would be interesting. But the title needs to go to Finn. I think Finn Balor needs a title. If you're not going to make him Universal Champion, you need to recognize that he's one of your top dudes. Put the IC title on him. It gives it some prestige. Then continue that not quite finished yet feud with Bray Wyatt. Bray chasing the IC title, the Demon King holding onto the title, the great warring of those two. You know, at some point have Harper and Rowan show up on Bray's side, have Gallows and Anderson show up on Finn's side. You can do some six-mans that way. It revitalizes, it teases the club that we're going to maybe talk about in a little bit when we get to NXT. There's a lot of different components I think they're missing with the IC title. But I'm not saying Miz is a bad champion. I just think that if you're going to have Miz holding that title, he needs to be fucking defending it often. Let him work. Let him do what he does best.
My answer is going to make you laugh.
Sure.
Heath Slater. Because he's got kids.
I like it.
No, dude, he's been so entertaining throughout, like, for the last year. And, you know, you've seen the other two guys kind of get shots when, you know, like, McIntyre's back in the picture, Mahal. I don't think that he should keep it. I think that he should get a moment and carry it for a little bit. Ultimately, I like the Finn idea. If I had complete control of the roster, Finn would be on SmackDown. But the guy that I would be grooming to take that spot would be Jason Jordan.
I love it.
He would be my up and, like, you would have Heath Slater kind of being the comedic character right now, holding the belt, and then you would have, like, him, like, taking on all comers and barely surviving with the belt. Maybe Rhino gets involved every now and again or whatever. Eventually I would have Jason Jordan win it, even if you have a heel. Now, a guy that would have been used for that if he hadn't got injured would be Big Cass. But unfortunately, he's out for 9 months.
Woo, buddy. He tore a lot of shit in that leg of his.
He did. And it's unfortunate because, like, they broke that team up, and he was going to get a push, and Enzo was not going to get a push. Enzo has so much heat with that backstage, with the other wrestlers. It is crazy.
Oh, absolutely. Well, political views and his brooding personality kind of make for a,
it's also, did you heard about the tour bus incident, right?
With Enzo, yes, absolutely.
How Roman kicked him off the bus?
He was bragging about how much money he made and how much he didn't really like the industry.
Mm-hmm. I'd kick him off the bus too. Get the fuck out of my industry. Get out of my business. I mean, you know, agree with Roman's position or not. That's him being a leader. That's him being a motherfucker.
Correct.
I have earned this. I have fought for this. Whether or not the crowd or fans or other people think that I've earned this and just it's been given to me, motherfucker, I have it and I've earned it. I ain't yet. No, fuck you. No. So, yeah, so I agree with that. Let's go over to the U.S. title. Over on the SmackDown, I'm gonna go first on this one.
Sure, please do.
Jinder Mahal should be U.S. champion.
That makes more sense, Brando.
Jinder Mahal should be U.S. champion. I think what they're doing here with him being WWE champion, they're trying to reach the Indian market. I get it, but I also think they're trying the JBL experiment, where you take a guy who's in the mid-card, not really doing much with him, and then you give him a kind of like a shiny new coat of paint, and you instantly elevate him and give him a shocking win, and you let that run define him. And that's what they did with Bradshaw, and they changed him into JBL, and he became a whole new character. He transformed. And I see that with this. It's very similar but different. I just think that I would have better plans for the WWE title than Jinder. No offense to him. I think he has improved tremendously. I think he's a good worker. I think he's great on the mic. I think he would be no doubt, in my mind, a future contender for that title later on. But that's not my plans for the WWE title. I'll get to that. But I think Jinder, at that moment in time, would make a great U.S. champion. He could have some really good feuds with some up-and-comers over there. And including, how about this? This would be a total role reversal, because you remember when Rusev and Jinder were together for that, like a cup of coffee, right?
Uh-huh.
You have Jinder sort of playing that heel U.S. champion, foreign U.S. champion, which they love to do so much. But then you have Rusev, the babyface foreigner. And here's Rusev facing the guy who was playing the role that Rusev was playing like just a few years ago. Okay, because the fans will love Rusev. And it's not only like they like to watch him, but they like the smart fans, the people who really watch the stuff that he does outside, where you get to see his real personality. You know,
absolutely.
If you ever watch Up Up Down Down, he's on there a lot, and he seems like a just really cool dude. And I think that's translated with people, and they like to watch him. And I think having him be a babyface wouldn't be that much of a stretch.
No, and I mean, they've already got him groomed to look like a babyface, even though they're not happy that he groomed himself to look like a babyface with that baby's face that he has, for real, though. Smooth cheeks. Anyways, U.S. title, shit. I think on it. I feel like there's a lot of guys in SmackDown that could use it. Where do you go? What do you do? KO is cool as champion. AJ would be cool as champion, but I think if you want to mix it up and do something, but not do it to the most extreme, Shane McMahon needs to be your United States champion.
That'd be a fun needs,
he, absolutely. And he's like, look, like, sorry, AJ, you keep hitting me and being a dickhead, and sorry, Kevin, you're a dickhead, don't hit me. And I'm going to challenge for the title, and if I win, then I don't know. And I'm not really thinking this through, Brando. I just think it'd be an it would just be interesting, I think. Because they haven't done an angle where, like, an authoritarian figure has won a title in a bit. Like, H was the last one.
Yeah, well, he's H.
Triple of the H.
All right.
Quadruple of the H.
So, my next ones are both of them for me. I don't think I wouldn't change the tag titles. I don't think that I would, simply because I really like the story that they told. I really like Cesaro. As much as I want to see them both sort of, I think they are so good together. I feel like they are such good friends outside that it translates
absolutely
to them being a good tag team. And then the reunion of Rollins and Ambrose was the most simple and storylines. It was all about a fist bump. It's all just fist bump.
All they
me,
needed.
Bro. Just fist bump me. That's fine. With the SmackDown side, I've heard that they are trying to make the New Day the most reigned tag team champion, not just the longest. So they want to break the tied record between the Hardys and Edge and Christian. So the New Day, they're not breaking up anytime soon. And so that's one reason why they got the SmackDown tag titles and dropped them so quickly, is that they're going to get them back. Maybe even trade them back and forth a little bit with this feud, or at least get them back to end the feud with the Usos. I have no problem with Usos being tag champions. I'm trying to remember all the, like, what are all the tag teams over there?
On SmackDown?
Yeah. Me not doing this show is part of, like, me kind of getting out of wrestling a little bit. So this is me getting back into it. So I don't remember all the tag teams over there.
It's like Ascension.
Oh, okay.
Breezango.
Okay, Breezango. They've been doing some interesting stuff. Hype Bros. I just saw them. Yeah, I watched SmackDown.
You've got American Beta, I think is probably what they'll be called. I don't know. Or Chad Benjamin, I don't know. Shelton Gable, I don't know what they're going to be called.
Yeah, I don't think that's the look on Shelton's face seems to say that that's not going to be a long-term thing.
Well, it might not be a long-term thing, or it could be, and welcome back Shelton Benjamin while we're on the subject of it.
Absolutely.
But, Brando, I just want to say that I think that they are missing a huge opportunity. Because I think what they should do is, and this will answer the question, you said the titles were fine where they are, but I think that the titles aren't fine where they are. I think that the Usos need to stay SmackDown champions for a minute. And then they need to go and beat Rollins and Ambrose for those titles. And be like, we run the penitentiary, this is the Uso Asylum, no one can stop us, we'll take on anybody, anywhere, any team. And then everybody can be like, whoa, 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 you can't do that, you can't have both titles, no. So you need to pick what show you're going to be on, Raw or SmackDown. Whatever show they don't pick, every SmackDown team that is not on that, or every SmackDown team would be a part of a huge, like, Dusty Rhodes-style tag team tournament for the titles on the opposite show. It shakes the whole division up, because then everybody can kind of freely move and shift however you need them to. You can maybe put Gallows and Anderson on SmackDown if Finn moves over there. You know, you can shift things around. This is an opportunity where the Hardys can get beat definitively in a really bad way and cause them to become extremely broken. Because they're extremely broken. I think that's kind of what I would do with the tag division. I was actually thinking about this today. Like, if I had control over the tag division, what would I do? And I think I'd hold a big tournament. I think they're missing an opportunity. But I think in order to get to that tournament, you'd have to have one team win both titles. And while I think, maybe New Day, maybe that would be cool. It makes so much more sense for heels to go after the titles because they're greedy and they want it all, you know?
I mean, it's a different mindset. I mean, that's the mindset that is the WWE, the old school WWF style, where the baby faces are the champions and the heels chase them. And then you have the Crockett style that was more popular, where you would have the heels be champion and the baby faces would chase them. Both work. Now, you said Samoa Joe should have beaten Brock for the Universal title. If this is my universe and I'm running it, Brock is still a champion. I am using him as a money draw to utilize that while I still have him, because as the rumor is, he's not re-signing. He's done. So I'm going to utilize this run for as much as I can get him out of. And if that means holding him off to lose until Mania, I'll do that. I don't know. We'll talk about that later, maybe. What we would do for that. But Brock would remain the Universal Champion, and he would go up against, you know, the likes of Joe, Roman, Braun, Finn. Like, I would have him appear a little bit more than what he has been in the past, where, you know, he's going to be at least the pay-per-views, because you can use Heyman a little bit in between to be the mouthpiece and do the promo stuff, and that's fine. So he would maybe be at the go home show or something. But you would have him make these title defenses, and then what I would do, maybe we'll talk about that later. I got ahead of myself. WWE title.
Well, real quick before we do that, I wanted to quickly explain what I would have done to take the belt off of Brock, right? Because I understand your money draw thing. But really quickly, just to save and not to spend a lot of time on this, if you're going to take the title off of Brock, I know they did this back in, like, what was it, 2013 or something? I don't remember exactly when it was. But Paul Heyman has admittedly seen Brock Lesnar get his ass handed to him several times now. And Paul Heyman is the best weasel in the game, maybe better than the Brain himself. You know what I'm saying? So why not have Paul Heyman fuck over Brock Lesnar and help Samoa Joe win the title? Become Joe's secondary mouthpiece. Not that he needs it. Joe is amazing on the microphone. But then what you do is you set up this thing like Paul Heyman going, Brock, I'm sorry, I'm not really sorry, but I can tell, like, these guys have been taking you to the shed and just kicking your ass, and I've got to preserve my job. This is in my best interest. It's nothing personal, you know? And I mean, who knows? You'll probably do well if you decide to leave and maybe retire and go do a UFC fight or something, and it kind of goes into that story. And then maybe if Brock doesn't go, it creates a more interesting drama where now you have a real beast unleashed with no one to say, no, don't kick that person's ass. Far more dangerous than Brock Lesnar as of right now, in my opinion. Go on.
Cool. Last one, WWE title. Obviously, sure. Obviously, I said Jinder should be U.S. champion, so someone else should be WWE champion. And in my opinion, that should be The Miz.
Ooh. I love that idea.
I feel like he got himself so over due to the talking smack, RIP, you know, stuff that he did. He got over as one of the biggest heels in the industry. Recognized finally, maybe, whereas before, maybe it was just a little too soon when he had the title before. He's a better worker. He's better psychologically now. He's coming to his own. He loves playing the heel, which is like not a lot of people like doing that. You know, he will go out of his way to be the heel a lot of times. But I think that he should be champion because he should have been rewarded for being the top heel guy on that show.
Absolutely.
When you have the other storylines going on and everyone is looking at The Miz as being the top heel when he comes out, his segment is like one of the top segments of the show. So what does that mean for like anybody else who should be challenging him? Well, of course, he should run the gamut of some of these challengers. AJ, you know, Shinsuke, Bobby Roode, who debuted, of course. But I still think they should still do the Miztourage. He would have the Miztourage, but he would be on top as WWE champion, having finally ascended back to where he belonged after being held down for so many years, in his opinion. But that's what I would do with that, and I would set that up. I don't know how long I would go have that run go for, but instead of the Jinder summer of Jinder, we would have the summer of The Miz, for sure. And then I probably would have had him retain at SummerSlam as well, just to keep it going because he's still so over.
See, now you got my wheels turning, and I have a really crazy idea that the WWE hasn't really ran with in a long time. And I look back to like some of the best wrestling in the Attitude Era wasn't necessarily face versus heel in a storyline. Sometimes it was heel versus heel in a storyline. Sometimes it was the two bad guys fighting over the same pot of gold that made it most enjoyable. So why not take... I agree. Let's let Miz be the WWE champion on SmackDown. Let him disappear for a short while like he's gone off television and no one knows what the F happened to him. And then, you know, there's a new challenger for whoever's title at the time, whether it be Jinder, whether it be whoever. Boom, Miz debuts on SmackDown again. Huge pop, but he's still a heel. He's got major heat. He wins the title. He's talking about now, though, because he is the best promo guy, he's telling people, I am the fucking best heel. I'm the best bad guy you guys have ever seen. And that's why you love me. It's because you hate me. You know, and he's being impassioned like he is. Dolph Ziggler's music hits. And Dolph goes, wait, if we're talking heels, and then you have to get, this has to be the one shot that Dolph gets. Because I see what happened with WWE. They keep giving Dolph these opportunities to come off as impassioned as a wrestler and really bring some of the real frustration to the game. But I think he still holds back a lot. And he holds back in such a way that it's noticeable that he's not giving it at all. So if you're going to do this thing, you have to literally set it up that, okay, look, Dolph, you go out there, but you're going to have to fucking sell us that you're the top bad dude, you know, and then have a heel versus heel back and forth between Dolph and The Miz, where the title can flip-flop for a little bit. Miz decisively goes over, sending Dolph to Raw, and then that, again, shifts the landscape. And when you have the title switch hands off of Miz, it's Shinsuke. It has to be.
Right on. Well, I'm really glad that we kind of went through that segment, because that's something that I was thinking about doing, and then we just, I didn't plan it, so it went off pretty well.
That was like the most concise episode of Journey into Wrestling ever, because we talked about a little bits from all where the titles laid and all this stuff, and we didn't really touch on all the news. I'm just kidding that we're obviously far from over, but it was just funny, because we did a really good job of like bringing a lot of information into a small amount of time.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, and I started doing that at some point during the first season, too, when we were doing the show, that I would try to sprinkle in some news tidbits within the matches that we were talking about, whether there were updates or whether things that were happening before. But we're going to go through the SummerSlam card and talk about, you know, who won, who lost, and see if we can talk about some of our opinions of some of these matches. I don't have a lot to say about some of them, and some of them, you know, I might have a little bit more to say. But I missed the first two matches of the pre-show because my kid was watching Sesame Street.
Hey, nothing wrong with watching some Elmo.
Well, I mean, there's only so much that you can take before you go insane. But I was letting him finish the episode before I switched it over. And then, so the first match that I saw was the SmackDown Tag Team match. But before that, you had the Miz Taraj, the Miz, Bo Dallas, and Curtis Axel with Maurice defeated the Hardy Boys and Jason Jordan in a six-man tag that went 11-20 to nobody, apparently.
Yeah, Brando, seven people in the arena. There's actually a picture if you go and search it. It's taken from way up in the stands, and they're literally wrestling to no one.
That is
pathetic. And what happened was, and I kind of understand that they started the match as early as they could based on when they knew doors were opening. And I get that. The problem is that they had security so tight with all the things that have been happening in our world that security checks to even get into the arena took so long that by the time people were getting in the arena, the second pre-show match was just about to start when it was really filling up.
It's awful.
Correct. I don't like it. I also don't like that The Miz didn't get any utilization on SummerSlam. Typically, his SummerSlam matches are phenomenal. Also, the same thing can be said with the Hardys. Like, they're a fucking legendary tag team. They wrestle nobody. It's back to the indie days, Brando. Might as well have been wrestling a fucking gym in Hammond, Indiana.
Next match on the card, Neville defeated Akira Toriyama for the Cruiserweight title. Akira Tozawa. I know, guys. I'm sorry. I just, me being away from like the everyday watching and keeping up of wrestling has led me to like not know who some of these people are that are being featured. I think Akira, wasn't he in the Cruiserweight tournament? Or was he not?
Correct. Yes, he was. But I think he also had something to do with maybe New Japan. Maybe not, though. But I want to say that with this match, the only thing that really redeems it, I know I was really critical of it earlier about, you know, you give it away that you're essentially going to give it back to Neville at SummerSlam because you let Akira win at 205 Live. And that's the unexpected thing, and then the expected thing, you know, anyways. But the only saving grace is it was kind of poetic, because when Akira won, Neville missed his big finish, and then Akira hit his finish. This time, Akira missed his finish, got the knees to his finish, and then Neville poetically mirrored how he lost the title. That's the only saving grace from that. But other than that, I mean, the match, it was okay. It was an okay match. It wasn't my favorite on the card by far.
Next up, last pre-show match. The Usos defeated the New Day, Big E and Xavier Woods, for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team titles. Now, this match was the first match I saw, and it was a barn burner. It was a damn good match. I really enjoyed this match.
Shit your britches if you got to try to follow that one. Might have been match of the night, legit.
Like it was up there, like until maybe like this was the best match on the show so far, and even of the first hour or two, this was like the gem. because so they went it says here they went 19 minutes 20 seconds. So they got 20 minutes to go out there and really tear the house down, and they did, man. They really took it home, and I didn't mind the ending at all, giving the Usos the win here, continuing the feud. You don't have to see now that they have had the New Day have their big long undefeated run for the titles for like 400 days or whatever it was. Now you can have them get beat. Now you can have them, put over the other guys to help further the story. You know, you've already done that one. Now you can tell something else, and it makes it fresh, because then now the New Day isn't always winning all the time.
Correct. People can actually get what I thought about this match on our Facebook, Brando. The match was so good, I went live immediately following it, because I had to speak on it for a few short minutes on what I thought. It was at least a 4-star match. There were a lot of cool spots. There was that, I don't know what they call it, like the Ali Uso or whatever, the Uso Oop or whatever, where he tosses him into the Samoan drop, and he threw him over the ropes and onto the outside. It was Xavier, and that was a hell of a bump. And there were a ton of huge bumps in that match. Big E taking a huge drop to the back of the neck from the top rope onto the outside was awesome. There's a lot of high-flying spots in this. The great storytelling between those two teams, and their chemistry is undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to work each other. They know how to tell the story they're trying to tell. Usos win. It was another title change. Here we are. It's the second title match of the night. The second title change of the night. It becomes a running theme. Moving into the main card of tonight's of SummerSlam's event to kick off the show, and I think they made a mistake picking this to kick the show off, was John Cena versus Baron Corbin. And the reason I think it was a mistake is, honestly, when you put the Usos and the New Day in the pre-show, and that's the last match people see before the actual pay-per-view, you set the bar really high. No offense to John Cena, but John Cena and Baron Corbin, not going to have a 4-star match to open up SummerSlam. Not going to probably have a 3-star match if we're being generous. You know what I'm saying?
This match wasn't very good.
No, it was not, Brando. They bury Baron Corbin here. I mean, they're going to bury Corbin him.
They have buried Corbin, no doubt. That'll let you know not to talk shit to any soldiers on Twitter. Baron Corbin made some mistakes. He lost his Money in the Bank. He becomes the second person to ever do a random cash in. He is joining the likes of Damian Sandow, and he's like, this is my time. I'm going to be champion. And then they just took it away from him. So they had all these plans. They had all these ideas for Baron. I don't think they've given up on him completely, but he's definitely being punished and being told, buddy, you are about to shit all this away, because guess what? There's other people right behind you who are ready to take your spot.
And they're coming for it. Now, it's weird, though, Brando, this match and the decision to have him lose the cash-in affects the entirety of SummerSlam. The original plan, if you guys don't know, was Shinsuke was going to win. We'll get to this in a minute. He was going to win the title from Jinder to a Baron Corbin immediate cash-in, to have Baron Corbin beat him for the title and then start a feud between those two and really set it forward. Obviously, that's not how things went down. You take the briefcase away from Baron. What does that mean about what's going on in the... There's also, folks, Brando, you can't see me looking around. You're probably like, what's Nate doing? I promise I'm not scatterbrained. There's a goddamn mosquito in here. and I do not want to get bit by the mosquito. So I'm trying to visually see him near me so I can fuck his day up. Did I get him?
No,
I missed. You just smacked your iPad. I did smack the iPad. That is very true. You definitely just witnessed me do that. But Brando, what did you think about the John Cena Corbin match? Honestly,
Put me to sleep.
Put you to sleep, like, for real?
Almost.
Or is that a figure of speech?
Well, no, because I was still excited for Game of Thrones that night, but I was not excited for that match. This match did nothing for me. You know, Cena's doing his thing, and Corbin won our very first Baron Corbin Award, so...
At this rate, he's going to be a two-time Baron Corbin winner.
He might actually be a two-time Baron Corbin winner. Yeah, I have not much to say about that match at all. Moving on, though, Natalia defeated Naomi by submission with a sharpshooter to win her first WWE Women's Championship. She won the SmackDown Women's Championship. The first one in 7 years.
Well-deserved. I think she needed this title a little bit ago. At some point, I think I said that I thought she should have been the first women's SmackDown champion just because of the lineage, just because of her legacy, just because she's a vet in the game, in the grand scheme of things. Last woman and the last wrestler to be trained in the classic Stu Hart dungeon. I'm very happy with this match. There's not a lot of negative I can say. And I was kind of believing for a second that Naomi might have been legit hurt, and that's why they switched the title, because again, this is the third title match we've had on SummerSlam. This is the third title change on SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So with Naomi crying, I was just like, oh shit, maybe something went wrong here. But that was not the case.
No, man, just really good selling. Honestly, the post-match selling was a little bit better than the match. The match didn't do a whole lot for me. It was pretty solid, and that was probably as good as it got. But I did read that Natalia actually had trouble keeping in character. Apparently, she did an interview where, you know, she won the title, and it was her first one, so it was in like a long time. And so it was very meaningful for her to get this. And so she's supposed to be the bad, you know, like the bad guy or like the bad girl here. You know, but she's supposed to be playing the villain. And she almost busted into tears and how happy she was. But she had to keep herself together. And she said the moment she got backstage, she just completely crumpled. And all that emotion came out of her backstage. The match is what it was. I was kind of surprised to see Natalia go over in this, to be honest with you, because we've almost been conditioned to think that she won't ever win.
Correct. It's weird. They do put her in positions where you think maybe she does have a crack at the title. She doesn't win. Of course, she did win. Now, what does that mean for the division? Do you have a cash in from Carmella on Natalia? I don't think so. I think that Naomi and Natalia got a feud that they're going to build, and it's going to be really good. By the time it's done, it's going to be one of those feuds we remember for a long, long time, I think.
Next matchup, Big Cass defeated The Big Show with Enzo Mori suspended above the ring in a shark cage.
This match was a big disappointment.
This match stunk up the joint. It kind of shows you how much Enzo has some heat on him, though. By the he did this big spot where he like got naked, not really, but he ended up like
quasi.
You know, he got down to his into his undies, lubed himself up, squeezed through the cage, climbed down just to get big booted. I laughed at that, to be honest with you. It was like poof, just down. But then, you know, Big Show, he put over the new Big Cass, and unfortunately, Big Cass got injured the next night. But this match did absolutely nothing for me. Enzo's, the crowd wasn't really into Enzo either. Not SummerSlam. Like, when he came out on 205 Live, he got a big reaction, a big pop then. But he didn't, he wasn't getting the reaction that he usually gets when he comes out. And that is a danger to him if he has that much heat on him. If he's not over, there's no reason to keep him there. I've heard rumor that he's in danger of getting sent back down to NXT.
Well, and the only reason they're not going to do that is because he's one of their top merchandisers. I mean,
right.
At the end of the day, it's all about the numbers, and he makes money for them. So they're not going to – I think it's a smart play to shift him to 205 Live. Because now it gives 205 Live another legitimate contender. You got somebody like Neville on 205 Live. Now you've got somebody like Enzo on 205 Live. Maybe you can build him back up, make him something special over there. Yeah, this was a massive disappointment. They buried Enzo yet again, another wrestler on the card that just got decimated by backstage heat. Like, oh, you're going to brag about how much money you make and how much you don't like the industry? Here, we're going to suspend you up above the ring. We know you're afraid of heights. Oh, also, you're going to have this cool spot. He's like, oh, yeah, I get to escape. That's so neat. And they're like, oh, so you're going to get a fucking boot to the dome. Take it, you know?
So the next match was a 10-second match. With Randy Orton and Rusev.
I hear voices in my head.
Well, Rusev came out and attacked Randy during his entrance, beat him up, and then got in the ring, finally got the match started, RKO. A vicious-looking RKO. I was like, oh,
yeah.
He went boom. Now, from what I understand, this was not done to bury Rusev, and that this was done to set up a feud between the two, like to further set up the feud between the two and to set up to another match. Basically, what they did here was Randy has had a couple of big profile losses on pay-per-view to Jinder, and they were looking to give him like a big snap out of the blue win, like a big win to make him look dominant, to kind of make him look credible again. But then also, since it was such a quick win, it can kind of be seen as like a fluke, and Rusev could kind of use that to go, hey, you want one-on-one, you can't beat me. You know, you caught me off guard.
And then Randy...
Which is oxymoronic because he caught Randy off guard to beat him up.
Yes, exactly. But that also sets up Randy to be able to continuously say, well, it just takes one.
Exactly.
All I got to do is give you one, and then you're going to go down.
Yep.
And I love that. I didn't hate this, actually. It was actually surprising and refreshing. Imagine that. You know, SummerSlam was already long with a fuck ton of matches, so to throw this one in there, make it a really quick one, bing, bang, boom, get it done. Happy. Next.
Sasha Banks defeated Alexa Bliss by submission.
Another title.
This match was interesting to me because I was not expecting it to end when it ended. I felt like the flow of this match didn't really get a good flow. Not a great match, in my opinion. Like, so far on this, like, we've had 5 matches in a row since the SmackDown tag team match that have all
Bonkers.
Been. They haven't. And that isn't a knock to the women here because both matches were good. I really felt like they had the potential to be something more. And with this one, I really feel like they had trouble finding their groove in spots. All, you know, cool, you know, it's almost kind of like a given. Sasha Banks takes Bayley's spot, so she has to win. So she gets the win here. They can do some cool story stuff with this with Bayley. They can do some stuff again with Sasha and even Nia if they want to do that. But I didn't really think too much of this other than, because I kind of figured Sasha was going to win. But
yeah, this was... not a surprising match, short, not super crazy, nothing really sticks out as a memorable OMG spot. These two, I think, really don't like each other, from what I hear. There was some real disdain back in the NXT days between these two, and, you know, Sasha being loudmouth Sasha, and Alexa being loudmouth Alexa. But I digress. You know, this match is what it is, like you said. Bayley getting injured, this pretty much made it official that Sasha was going to win. They maybe came up with a more creative way to do that, but that's all I really have for that one.
Finn Balor defeated Bray Wyatt in the return of the Demon King, and the first time that he's donned the war paint and all that stuff since last year's SummerSlam.
He got hurt.
It was really cool to see that version of the character. Again, this match honestly served just that purpose to bring that
to bring that character back. The match wasn't great. I would give it maybe a 3 out of 5 star. It did what it needed to do. It definitely served its purpose. In this match, besides giving you just a solid match, it gave you more so moments than it did actually give you like a drop dead end all match. This match is there simply to serve the purpose. So now this is now 6 matches in a row that really haven't lived up to that tag team match. Like literally, like this is the first like most of the show now. It's like that tag team match. They were on that pre-show and they were given the time to put on a match, because so far that tag match is the longest match on the card so far.
Holy shit!
That tag match is 19:20. Cena and Corbin 10:15. SmackDown Women's 11:10. Big Cass Big Show 10:30. Orton Rusev 10 seconds. Raw Women's 13:10. Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt 10:40.
Damn.
It's hard to put on a classic or even like a great match in 10 minutes. It's hard to tell your story. So in that respect, in all due respect to all of these guys, it's hard to, you know, we sit here and we say how much we like or didn't like it. It's not all up to them. They have to try and craft the story with the allotted time that they're given.
Absolutely. And that is and that's a folly of putting so many matches on SummerSlam, Brando.
Yeah, I agree.
Too many matches, look, I think I get it. It's SummerSlam, but I think if you're gonna do SummerSlam right, do like 8 gigantic holy fuck matches that people are like, son of a bitch, I can't not tune in to see that. I can't miss that. But when you put on 13 or 15 matches, plus you got NXT the night before, and you got Raw on Monday, you got SmackDown on Tuesday, you got 205 Live on Tuesday again, and then NXT again on Wednesday. Like, it's just overload at that point. You're not servicing the fans the way you should.
Up next, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins defeated Cesaro for the Raw Tag Team titles. Yet another title match, yet another title change. I saw this one coming a mile away. I think everybody did. This is so predictable. However, the match was top-notch. All these guys did such a great job. They went 18 minutes, 35 seconds. Loved the Cesaro beach ball bit.
When he running into the crowd and getting that beach ball that has now been banned from all WWE arenas.
Yeah, no more beach balls. No more beach any. I would just love to bring like some pool noodles.
All swimming paraphernalia has now been... No more swans, goddammit. Inflatable swans are not allowed.
I could just imagine, like, going into a WWE event wearing, like, swimming trunks, getting, like that sunscreen on your nose, and having, like, arm floaties. They're just like, what are you doing? This isn't Bash at the Beach?
What if, like, the crowd was really strange, and they took the swan floaties from the pool, you know, those big swans? And every time Jeff Hardy was going to do a swanton dive, they threw him at the ring. So there are like hundreds of these inflatable swans. Like, I don't know how that would fly, though, because, you know, they're big and kind of heavy. That might be dangerous. Knock somebody the F out. Bam!
Well, about like Terry Funk calling in for all those chairs to be thrown into the ring.
Oh, yes.
And at that point, you just lay down and go, just let them pile on top of you. Like, okay, they're not hurting anymore.
After like the third layer, you're not really feeling anything hit you. You're just feeling the layers pile on top of you, Brando. But I like this match. It was, as you said, predictable that the title would change hands. But here we are. It's every match so far that has had a title in it, the title has, in fact, changed hands. As I said, that's a big theme of the night. So
Until now,
we are now at the U.S. title match, I do believe.
Yes, AJ Styles defeated Kevin Owens to retain the United States Championship. With Shane McMahon as the special guest referee, they went 17 minutes, 20 seconds. The match was really freaking good. However, when I watched it, I was very critical of how many times Shane just got involved and got beat and got hit and got knocked around. I'm like, geez. To me, that was overkill. I think, to me, that's overbooking. You can tell that same story with Les, because I really feel like the match that they put on was great. And that kind of stuff, so much of it brings it down, in my opinion.
I agree with you. I liked the match. They put on a good, solid, like, 4-star match. Again, this is maybe another great top contender for match of the night. The Shane thing, I agree, because, one, if that was a regular referee that was getting pushed around like that, they'd be fucking disqualified at the end. And I get it, that it's Shane, and I get also that Shane's trying to have some cool spots. But I think if you're going to do something, make it one or two huge holy shit spots instead of all these like little meaningless spots that are just annoying and slow the match down. The flow of the match never really got to stay full bore because you had Shane interrupting often.
Up next, Jinder Mahal defeated Shinsuke Nakamura to retain the WWE Championship in 11 minutes, 25 seconds. This match didn't really get a chance to get into, like, get out of second gear. It never reached the third gear. They did the same sort of screw job finish with the Singh brothers. This match does not much for me other than continue the feud with Shinsuke, which they did on SmackDown. But Jinder retained, and I thought it was a letdown.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, considering you could have put Shinsuke over and had a big, huge moment there, I think it is a massive letdown, and this is one of those things, like, if that's where you were going, it should have fucking been John Cena, honestly.
Well, Cena, like, yeah, because I remember the original plan was to have Cena maybe even beat Jinder, like, a long time ago. Putting Shinsuke over, I can see both sides of the argument. Putting him over would be just this out of this nowhere. Whoa, yes, all right, yeah. Guy that the fans really get, you know, are getting into, and it derails Jinder, and it sets up maybe a rematch for Jinder to maybe get his title back or continue that feud. However, like not giving it to Shinsuke, like, you have so many title changes already on the show that, and yet another one wouldn't make it as special. It just, like, one after another, after another, after another. But then again, with the Universal title staying with Brock, having this title change hands, maybe you shouldn't have had so many of the other belts change hands. There's different ways that you can look at it. The match itself, I'm hoping the next one's better because I hope they can get a little bit more heat and get a little bit more time to tell a good story and hopefully not bring back the Punjabi Persian match again.
Punjabi, boring. Like, I did not like the Punjabi prison match, and then you had Kali return, and I thought, oh shit, Jinder's gonna expand his fucking regime. That's great. That it makes the modern day Maharaja even more dangerous. Also love how great Kali stole the belt to take a big picture with him holding the title over his head. Yeah. So that all the Indian newspapers can run that the great Kali is king on top again, you know. But I thought that was the ball that was fumbled. Give him great Kali to also have in his corner as this other dangerous pawn that he can use. I mean, it makes
like an enforcer.
Exactly. It makes Jinder look even more badass when you surround him with all this talent like that. I'm not calling Great Khali the most talented guy, but the
he
concept is...
He can barely walk.
He can really walk and not really take a lot of bumps. But, I'm not really great with this match. That's all I have to say. And we're moving on to the final match of the night, I believe, right?
Brock Lesnar defeated Roman Reigns. He pinned Roman to retain the Universal title in a Fatal 4-Way, which also included Samoa Joe and Braun Strowman. This was a match. This match almost saved the show as far as, like, with this match closing it off in a really good way. Everybody brought it. Everybody went out. I really love the spots they did with Braun and Brock, him slamming him through two tables, doing that stuff, getting him out of there, getting Brock away from the action a little bit to let the other guy shine, then having him come back out and decimate.
In rage mode.
Yeah, you know, I think it worked. When you have all these big guys and they're throwing fists and throwing suplexes and throwing people around, it was pretty chaotic at times, and I think it really worked for this.
Yeah, here's the thing, Brando. The one thing I'm frustrated about this match is the WWE continuously wants to have Roman saying that it's his yard, but then you have Roman take the pin. It makes him look so fucking weak. How is it his yard if he can't even win a match? And he's the one that got pinned of all things. Of course, I understand that. Because of all the guys that you want to get pinned, you don't want it to be Braun. Braun looks so fucking strong, it's insane. Throwing Brock Lesnar around like he's a fucking ragdoll on Monday Night Raw. And you don't want it to be Joe, because Joe's, again, looking like an absolute badass who handled Brock like a pimp. So it has to be Roman. Roman has to stop this "it's my yard" shit. The only thing they can do now that can save Roman's character, in my opinion, is to stop with the John Cena-ing, keep posturing him to be a face, turn this motherfucker heel, and let him let loose. Let Roman have some anger. It worked with The Rock. It will work with Roman.
Right on. So, what would you rate the show out of 5?
I would give it a solid 3. No, yeah, nah, 3.25 is generous. So 3.25.
I'm right with you at a 3. It was a good show. It wasn't a bad show. It had some really stagnant moments. It's a long show on the network. It's a 4-hour show without the pre-show matches on there. Of course, without the pre-show matches, you're missing potentially the match of the night with that SmackDown Tag Team title match on there. So with that, I mean, without that match, it brings it down to like almost like a 2.5 to me, because there was some good stuff on here. You know, there really was, but you know, especially the main event was good, and then it's almost like everything in the latter part of the show was really good, and everything else in the beginning was just either like just the shits or kind of just there, and that's unfortunate. But that's kind of where I'm seeing that now. We actually got some questions on Facebook.
You know, what's really fucking weird about that, Brando, is I was just pulling them up. I was going to say we should take some questions from our audience.
Yeah, and so we got Travis Pickett, someone that I believe we went to high school with. He's asking us what we think of the current title picture and where it could be, you know, going into WrestleMania 34. We kind of already talked about half of that question, I guess. Going into 34, I would have.
What would you do?
I would have Brock still be champion, because as I said before, I'm gonna extend that run for a full year, because I'm gonna get every little. This is gonna sound so fucking dumb. I'm gonna milk him for everything he's worth.
Okay.
Hopefully Sable doesn't get too jelly, but I'm gonna have him put over somebody at Mania. I don't know who. I know they want it to be Roman. I don't want it to be Roman there. I would put over somebody else. But then again, there's a part of me that wants him to be like you said, to have like a random knockoff and have that guy be Braun.
Ooh.
But I don't think it's gonna happen. I think who would I have him face? Shoot. Damn it. Because I know it's going to be Roman. Unless Roman gets hurt. There's a rumor that they could do Roman versus Cena next year.
Okay.
Which is a money match in itself without a title. But there's a chance that Roman could get the belt and then Cena would be challenging for... I don't know. Okay, so if we do Cena and Roman without the belt to put over Roman, and then have a Lesnar title match where he puts over somebody else, that's where I would put over Joe.
Okay.
And then on the other side, we would end up with a fatal four-way elimination style with your WWE champion, Bobby Roode.
Ooh.
Defending against Kevin Owens.
Yes.
Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles.
Dream match.
And
dream match.
And Owens is the first eliminated after like 15 minutes. This is like a 30-minute match. And then Owens is like, bah! You know, his little, that look he gets, you know, that shock look. And then, you know, Owens gets eliminated. And then you have Bobby Roode starting to pick up the pieces, which I heard they're going to make him a face, by the way. That he's not coming in as a heel, that he might actually be coming in as like one of the top baby faces. So I'm going to keep him as babyface in this match. Or maybe he could be babyface and then switch heel. However, he is the next eliminated in my match.
Ooh.
He gets a shocker elimination, which means we're guaranteed a new champion. And then we have the Wrestle Kingdom main event from a few years ago. AJ versus Nakamura. And then the fans are so conflicted because they don't know who they want to win. It's a win-win either way. And then Nakamura gets it in the end.
Damn, I love that, Brando. How do I even say anything about my opinions of wrestling when you bring great shit like that to my door?
That doesn't close the show because I know better. I know better that they would never do that to close the show. They're gonna put over Duke Dumpster Drosy over Lesnar before they would do that shit.
Yeah.
But no, that's exactly what I would do. That would be a dream match for fans. It's gonna be win-win because it's gonna be AJ versus Nakamura, two baby faces, and Nakamura's going to get it, and it's going to be a moment. You know, I believe that.
The handshake at the end.
Mm-hmm. And with the potential to now, we might get a rematch of that. Because the idea would be is that this is like a 30-minute match, and you spend the first 10 to 15 minutes of it with all four. Owens goes out first, and then like less than 5 minutes later, Roode goes out. And you're just like, what? And then even he is like, what? You know, make it one of those knockoff pins where like it was a roll up or he got sloppy. He was going in and then he misjudged and he got caught by the other guy. And then
have Owens get pinned by Roode. Roode gets a quick roll up by like, let's say AJ, but KO holds down Rude's legs and the ref doesn't see it.
That could be, because that could set up those two having a return match at Payback or Extreme Rules or something. Yeah, that works. But then you would literally set up the next 15 to like 10 to 15 minutes. Like the last part of that is just a one-on-one match with AJ and Shinsuke going balls to the wall against each other because they both want to win. AJ wants his title back. Shinsuke wants to realize the dream and wants to ascend. Like he feels like that he got robbed of from the gender era. And then Bobby Roode comes in and sort of just takes a spot. He gets the challenge. He ends up beating Jinder. And then for one reason or another, Shinsuke never really gets a one-on-one match for the title. And then we end up having you can have the winner of the Rumble and you can have the winner of the Rumble face the Universal Champion. And SmackDown needs to decide who's going to face Bobby. Well, then it ends up just turning into a big kind of a clusterfuck with all four of them, but the match doesn't end up being a clusterfuck getting there, whereas like because they all want it, so they all end up kind of like getting involved in their other business, trying to kind of screw the other guy out of it, or you know, they're like, I don't care what I gotta do, I want my damn title back, and Owens is like, me, I'm the champion, I'm you
It would need to be Shinsuke wins the Rumble, KO and AJ are both heel at that point. But then maybe before the thing is all said and done, AJ is back to face by the time they get back to WrestleMania.
No, I wouldn't change AJ at all. I wouldn't have Shinsuke win the Rumble at all. I would have the Rumble winner face Lesnar, whether that be Braun, whether that be Joe, whether that
makes
be
sense.
Finn, or whoever they're going to try and bring up for that. But I would have that, and I would even have that close the show, because you're anointing, that would be Lesnar's possible last match of the company. So that's like his swan song. Yeah. And then at Mania, you're also looking at a potential, another attraction match would be Hunter versus Kurt Angle, which is rumored to happen. If they're going to do it, it's going to be with Hunter, because they're worried about Kurt and his health and his neck and possibly getting hurt. And if they're going to put him in there with anybody, they're going to put him in there with Kurt Angle or with Triple H, because Triple H is going to take care of him.
Totally agree with that, Brando. Moving on to the next question. Let me read this one off for you. Adam Aldridge says, with Brock Lesnar being champ and making limited appearances, shouldn't they be using this time to make the IC title way more prestigious?
Yep.
I love this question, Brando, because the answer is yes. You don't have Brock Lesnar full-time on every event. He's not there on every Raw. You do have The Miz, who's been on the grind. We've talked about how he's paid his dues, and he's owed that.
He's not there every pay-per-view.
He's not there every pay-per-view either. That's true. Adam says that he's talking about The Miz here. He says, I know that Miz had this awesome borderline shoot promo with Cena and Reigns only to look like a coward in the locker room on Monday Night Raw segment with Joe and then lose the match. They should make him a face, but in a disgruntled employee type of way. I like that concept of, like, maybe make Miz a good guy, but he's like, God damn, like, why don't you just listen to what I want to have happen? Like, I'm trying to make you money here, damn it.
I disagree. I think he needs to be heel all the way.
Interesting. Now, Adam has a follow-up question. I want to definitely get your opinions on this. What do you think about letting Bobby Roode work a program with AJ and winning the U.S. title so they can push AJ back in the super weak title picture? Talking about the WWE title picture being weak right now.
Well, I would just push Roode into that super weak title picture, and I would get the U.S. title off of AJ and onto Baron Corbin.
Okay, so you would reward Baron with the U.S. title?
It gets him out of the main event picture.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair assessment.
And then it gives him something to do for a few months. I'm not looking at it as a necessary award. He's getting a big win, for sure. But at the same token, it's like he's still like in the doghouse as far as like he's not getting what he was going to be getting. That may not be coming. It's going to be up to his behavior and his attitude, but depending on, like, what does this run do for you? When this run ends, are you going to ascend or are you just going to remain stagnant? Because look at all the other players who have had runs with the mid-card titles, The Miz, Dolph, Great Hands. They've been stagnant for so long that they've never been able to really make that jump to the next level. So... Now, our good friend Tony had multiple questions here. These are some fun ones here.
Bring on the quick fire. I'll answer them all.
Who performed the best TDT in the business, in your opinion?
The Rock.
Jake the Snake.
Oh, well, Jake the Snake created the DDT, but The Rock just nailed it with the fluidity with which he hit that move.
I also like Ravens, the even flow.
Even flow was dope, absolutely, and we can't leave out that Dean has an okay, was an arm hook DDT.
Double arm hook,
same as Cactus.
Yeah.
What
does Dean call his? I don't remember. It's got a name.
It does have a name. I don't know what it is right now. It's Dean's finisher, that's what it is.
Who could drink more beer, APA or Stone Cold?
By default, you would want to say APA. There's two of them. But he's a Texas rattlesnake. That mofo drinks more beer than APA for sure.
My answer is the Sandman.
That's a great answer. Oh my God, yes.
Who's the greatest hardcore wrestler of all time? Terry Funk.
Sabu.
Terry Funk is literally the inventor of hardcore wrestling back way back when, before it was even called hardcore wrestling.
That is true.
So therefore that's almost by default. Who's the best hardcore wrestler of all time? In my opinion, Terry Funk. You get one match as yourself against Vince McMahon. What is it and why?
I want to do a submission match versus Vince McMahon. One, I like submissions. Two, Vince McMahon has never been in a fucking submission match, so I know I have an advantage. What? I'd beat him.
Oh, man. I want to have a Stephanie on a pole match.
Oh, my God, yes.
That sounds so dirty.
Yeah, it does.
Look, bro, she's going to be on a pole, bro. And then you're going to be going up to grab her, and bro, she's not there. Swerve. Oh, man. What kind of match did I have with Vince? Fuck. Dude, he's a tough son of a bitch, though.
Yeah.
Like no joke aside, he's a tough son of a bitch. That's a difficult question to answer. How about a ladder? Because as tough as he is, I don't think he can climb a ladder that well.
Nope. It'll take him a long time with those torn ass quads.
But by ladder match rules, neither can anybody else. They all have to go really slow. Nobody climbs a ladder normal in ladder matches. They're always just so...
God, it takes them 5 minutes to go up one rung.
Anyway, thanks, Tony, for those. Travis also has a follow-up that he posted while we were dicking around before we started recording. How to improve the network. If Cena will help improve Roman, if you think the Shield will reunite sooner or later or never, how bad the Attitude Era looks when you go back and watch it. Basically, I'm not sure if this is our questions other than like these are several questions of one.
I can quick fire spitball it if you want me to.
How would you improve the network at this moment in time?
At this moment in time, I would go to Journey Into Comics Patreon at patreon.com/journeyintocomics and get on the network where you can get all of our shows. Cheap pop. Hey, anyways. For real, though, my plan to improve the network is to actually add a Thursday show, a live Thursday night show that is main roster that is exclusive to the network. Because not only does that give you new content, what it does is it allows you to have another show where some of your underutilized stars can go. It can open up your utilization to bring the UK title over to the States and maybe make that one of the main titles of that show. It allows you to bring Big Gold out of retirement and make it the main title of that show. So you have World, WWE, and Universal Champs, three different major champs. It's like ECW redone without it having to be ECW in an Extreme Rules type thing. It just gives your roster more room to breathe, I think.
To improve the network, I would try and negotiate a deal with NBC Universal where you don't have to wait a month and a half to get the newer episodes of Raw and SmackDown on the network. My goal would be to get them on the network within 24 hours, like you would get them on Hulu, where Raw airs on Monday and it's up on Tuesday.
Full episode, not cut, not... Yes. Yeah, I love that. Absolutely. Brando, do you think Cena working with Roman's going to improve Roman?
Yes.
I agree with this. I just think that it's a lose-lose. The hate those two had on Monday Night Raw, the crowd is chanting, "You both suck. You both suck." It says a lot about how much people don't like John Cena and how he's been shoved down our throats and how they don't like Roman Reigns being shoved down our throats.
You know, there's a chant that I miss from back in the day was change the channel.
Change the channel. Absolutely.
I think Cena, you know, Cena's entering his twilight years here. And did you see the video that he did? Okay, so he did that video with Cricket a long time ago where he surprised the fans, and then they surprised him.
Man, it choked me up, Brando. John Cena's a good dude. I just don't like him as the wrestler everybody wants to be in the top from at least a WWE perspective.
Well, think about it like, you know, it's really cool because he is the Hulk Hogan of this era, you know, without a doubt. And hopefully we're not going to get caught in 20 years with John Cena saying something stupid and having him ruin his legacy. But, you know, Cena's done a lot. He's done so much. And he's never wavered. He's never wavered to pressure to turn heel. He's never wavered to really change the character. He's been who he's been. And now that he's in the twilight years and he's not wrestling for the top titles anymore all the time, the dude can still put on 5-star matches. All you got to do is look at the AJ matches from last year. Holy crap. You know, SummerSlam last year, Royal Rumble, two of the best matches you've ever seen in WWE, period. He can still go. I think he's going to improve Roman. I think he is going to go in there, and Roman's going to learn a lot from working with Cena because Cena has been the man, and Roman wants to be the man. Then he's going to have to go in there with him and learn what it's like to work with him, to work with a guy at that caliber.
Do you think they're going to have to turn Roman heel if this is the road they're going down? Because you can't have two baby faces with no friction on their way to WrestleMania or on their way to whatever major thing.
As much as I would like to see that happen and really get them a chance to get him over as a heel, my worry is that by turning him heel and changing how he is, then the fans would start cheering him.
Yep.
Because the fans are fickle. And so I kind of see why they don't want to listen to them, because it's like these guys are just going to go anti whatever we want to do, and they're going to love their stars that they love that were on smaller ones.
Brando, I don't know, man. I don't think that. I just want to finish on some of Travis's thing. He's talking about Roman here, but he also asked if we think the Shield will reunite soon, later, or never. I think he means all three members. I think if you're going to have a Shield reuniting, you need to have Gallows, Anderson, Adam Cole, baby, and some of his team, and bring the whole Bullet Club full circle into the WWE spotlight. From what I heard, I was listening to Dave Meltzer a little bit talk. He said that T-shirts in arenas are 80% New Japan T-shirts now, mainly Bullet Club related, or, you know, Young Bucks related, or American Nightmare Cody related, and less WWE. And the next closest thing to that is, like, you know, your top draws for them. So I think that there's a real special thing with the Bullet Club. I think that you utilize that. Bring the Bullet Club to kick the shit out of Roman. Have them kick the shit out of Seth and Ambrose. Make them reunite. Boom. The Shield stronger. Maybe expand the Shield. Who knows? Maybe start to bring in some other characters that have been surrounded and be like, oh yeah, we'll help you to knock off the club.
So I just got a message from Joe. Of course, Joe Grimes, he was on the WrestleMania preview show earlier this year at the end of last season of our show here. And I actually watched this, but I guess I missed it. I didn't catch it because I was also reading The Walking Dead for another show that we're doing. JBL said during Bobby Roode's match, go to the pay window, get you some beer money.
Hey, love it. You gotta love the little references thrown in TNA's face. Speaking of which, the world is a weird place. At one point in time, the WWE was having somebody, or at least somebody rogue within the WWE, was captioning that Dixie Carter was a terrorist. And now Dixie Carter has been on WWE programming, Brando. It's a weird time to be alive.
Yeah.
Do you think that the Attitude Era is terrible to watch now? Going back, like, some of their stuff. It's funny, because actually you've answered this question.
Yeah, I actually talked about that on the last season, yeah, of our show. I talked about how, like, man, there's some stuff that is just, it doesn't age well. It really doesn't. Like, especially a lot of the just overly sexual stuff doesn't age well. Some of the stuff that they've done, it just, at the time, wrestling was such a, had a high popularity that even the bad stuff seemed like it was, like, entertaining. And it was, but it, looking at it now, looking back, there's some real dud stuff. It's like, and if you think WWF is bad at some of that stuff, look, watch some of the Nitro stuff that is just, here are some undercard guys. Here's some main event guys that don't want to wrestle tonight. Here's some more undercard guys. What's their storyline? We don't have one. Here's a Cruiserweight six-man tag. Here's DDP interview.
That's great news.
Oh, look at you.
It's a great time to be alive.
This is the second podcast that we have done in a row that you had food delivered to you.
Unintentionally. I mean, I didn't ask. I mean, I did ask to have some chicken McNuggets, but I did not know they were going to be delivered.
I've got chicken Mac General So's in the other room. My wife went and got me some like Chinese takeout, and I have forgone eating said Chinese takeout because I know it's going to make me just go into a food coma, and we've got shows to do.
I'm lucky that food re-energizes me and doesn't food coma me out. But General So's, man, oh, so good. So chickeny and delicious.
Meat. I've got General So's pork fried rice, pork egg rolls, and crab rangoons.
This has quickly become an episode of Foodies.
Right. But you know what? We're so glad to bring back Journey to Wrestling. This is almost kind of a free form episode. We sort of stuck to the format a little bit of how we go through the pay-per-view and go through the card. We are still going to kind of maybe experiment a little bit with the format, maybe with how we're going to do some news. That could be, I mean, this is going to be a long season ahead of us going forward with Journey to Wrestling right here on the Journey to the Comics Network. And, I believe that the next time that you guys are going to hear us is going to be in September. We are going to try and be bi-weekly. We're going to try and, like, time our shows to, like, where we review a pay-per-view and preview the next. So we got definitely have some topics there along with whatever news is going on. And, of course, we're going to try and cover some non-WWE stuff as well, what we can have and have time to watch. Of course, as Nate said, there was, like, 18 hours of just WWE stuff to digest. And then, of course, like you guys remember, like, the WrestleMania week this past
year. Oh, yeah.
It was so much content. It almost just burns you out on watching wrestling entirely. But if there's anything that, you know, is remotely interesting, of course, TNA doesn't exist anymore. It's GFW, Impact Wrestling.
Jim Crockett.
What?
Or Jim Cornette.
Jim Crockett. You're like, Jim Crockett? Yeah, Jim Cornette came back and fired Bruce Pritchard. Eli Drake is the new GFW global champion. I'm sorry, they don't have a world champion. They have a global champion. They have new GFW title belts. I'm keeping up on it, kind of. But then, like, you know, low-key is already done with the company. Petey Williams is coming back to wrestle. Again, it's just like,
wait, Loki, the guy that has the Agent 47 look, is already gone?
Yeah, he already gave his notice.
Dang.
I know, dude.
Not good.
You know, we didn't talk about NXT, but I just want to say that it's really cool that Drew McIntyre came back and got his first big title in a lot of years in the WWE. He's the NXT champion. I see him. He is so much better. He's grown so much as a worker and performer than he was when he last left. He went out and he really improved himself. And I think that's going to show. And then when he goes to the main roster, hopefully he can get some traction behind him. I'm not sure if I see him as a world champion, but I hope so. I hope he can at least be in the picture.
Yeah, I think that's really well said. Another thing to mention from NXT TakeOver is, as I was teasing, Adam Cole makes his debut, and him and Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish beat the shit out of Mr. Drew McIntyre, who just won the title. I loved it because it was like, hey, Drew finally got back to the top. Immediately he's pummeled back to the bottom, even though he's the champ, you know?
Yeah, well, dude, I think it's going to do us this evening here for us as we record this Journey to Wrestling late into the night. And we got some more podcasting to do yet. So with that being said, you can check us out on our social media. We are JIWNJIC on Twitter. We actually have one of those now. We're on Twitter. We're at Journey to Wrestling on Facebook. You can check out the Journey into Comics Network over at journeyintocomics.com. Check out all the episodes of all of our other great shows there. And, of course, if you want to help us out and throw us a couple bones to support the network, head over to the Journey into Comics Patreon, where you, just for $1 a month, you can get early access to all of the great shows that we have to offer. All 8, which you can only get 7 on the .com. You only get 7 over there on the main feed because Game Addicts, you know, earlier in the year, we kind of went off on our own feed before we ever thought to that we were going to make a network for real. And so now they're over there on gameaddicts.podbean.com on their own feed on iTunes and all that stuff. But over on Patreon, it's all in the same feed. We're all at their early access. As soon as it's done and edited, it is up for you guys to listen to. And yeah. And that's such an awesome and cool thing that we can do. You know, we don't have to wait. You guys don't have to wait for the drop date. You can get it as soon as it's done. And at any time of the night, you know, I don't like schedule it for it to go up and go live at a certain point. And just, it is up. It is live. You know, when I edit this episode, probably tomorrow, it might be like 8 o'clock in the morning or, you know, when we recorded last time, it ended up going up at like midnight or something like that. But it's really cool. And then for $3, you also get access to bonus content that we're going to be putting exclusively on the Patreon, only for Patreon subscribers. So if you can help us out, that's awesome. If not, of course, you can always just stay tuned and subscribe to the Journey to Comics Network on your favorite podcast service. So I think if that is it, Nate, we need to wrap up this show and go home.
Brando, I think it's time to wrap it up, man. It was a great first episode back talking some wrestling. Always have fun doing it. You know, on the Patreon, it's not just going to be exclusive to one show what that bonus content is.
Yes.
We've got a lot of plans that's going to go across all the different shows. We are constantly looking for the next thing to do or the next big step in the evolution of this network. And we have a lot of things, as you say, it's in development. So just stick around, folks. Pay attention to what we're doing here at Journey into Comics on the network and Journey into Wrestling. We will see you guys next time. Brando, is there anything else you wanted to add?
That will be it. And we will see you, I believe, on September 20th is when we're going to be coming at you. Will be the next drop date for the show. So please mark your calendars and stay tuned to hear what we got to say about the next upcoming pay-per-view, which I think is No Mercy.
Yes, Raw is No Mercy.
Raw is No Mercy. We're going to be looking at that. We're going to be previewing the upcoming SmackDown show. So with that being said, I'm Brando.
I'm Nate.
We'll see you next time.